Good morning. Good morning. I first like to thank God for blessing me with the strength and the ability to stand before you and to share with you another portion of his word. I'd also like to thank the leadership for this opportunity. And I pray that what is said this morning will be an encouragement, will be edifying for us all. The last few years have been very challenging. We've had sickness, we've had disease, the pandemic, we've had political unrest, assassination attempts. We have world wars all around the world. And it's in these times that our faith is tested, our faith is challenged. Whether you believe in God or believe in nothing at all, your faith, the way you view the world, your worldview has been tested and challenged. For those of us that believe in God and the salvation he has through his son, Jesus Christ, then you're familiar with the kingdom that's not of this world. In John chapter 18 and verse 36, which was read in our hearing, we also understand in Jesus that he has prepared a place for us. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. For those of you that have doubts or unsure that there is a God, I pray that what is said this morning will pique your curiosity in seeing that there is a better place than this. Have you ever had family members or friends come over for an extended amount of time? And you tell them, make yourself at home. And let's say that they say, yes, we will make ourselves at home. And so they start putting up pictures on the wall. They start to get a little paint in their room. They start painting the walls and everything. And then you approach them and you ask, you say, oh, you just staying a few days, right? Yeah. We're just staying a few days. And then a few days later, you go to the mailbox and you notice the mail, and they have mail that's being sent to your mailbox with their name and your address. And you would think to yourself, although they're saying that they're staying just a few days, their actions don't match up with their words. And I believe as Christians, God sees us as that way as well sometimes. He says, although we instinctively say our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our actions don't match up with our words. And so if I were to title this lesson, it would be, is this world my home? And we're going to explore two questions. The first question is, how can I know if I'm making this world my home? How can we know if we're making this world our home? And then number two, how can I focus and have heaven be my home? How can I focus and maintain heaven as my home? Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you ever visited went on a vacation and visited somewhere an extended amount of time, and it was the most horrible experience? It was just frustrating. But is it some hope in the back of your mind to say, you know what, we're just here a few days and then we're never coming back again. We're gonna leave. Compare that to someone that has been convicted and has a life sentence at a federal penitentiary. You know, there's not much hope there. This is it. For the rest of my life here, I'm stuck. And so when you have a view of a better place in the back of your mind, there's still hope there. And so one of the first things that we can identify whether or not we're making this world our home is when we're tested by problems, we become hopeless. When we're tested by problems and issues, we become hopeless. That's a clue that I'm starting to make this world my home. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he is addressing the church in Corinth, and he's encouraging them for this type of hope. Even though we're going through trials and tribulations, we need to still have a hope of a better way. In verse 1 it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, he's talking about this body that we're living in, were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See, the Apostle Paul, he's describing here about the physical body that we're presently working through as we're living here on this earth. But he's alluding to, he goes into more detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 through 54. He goes into more detail about the immortal body that we would have. So how much better is it that not only do we get a better place, but we also get a new body? For those of us that have lived on this earth a little while, you can testify that it can break down a little bit. The body can break down, but how much, as Paul is describing here to the people, we're going to have not only a better place, but we're going to have new bodies. So that's also a reason to have hope. So if you don't have hope, then you're looking at this is it. Just like the one that was sentenced to the penitentiary for life. This is it. This is all. But when you continually have hope, you're depending on the words of God to sustain you. As we continue on in verse number 5, it says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, God has given us his word to guide us while we are here from away from him. When I walk by sight, I see this world as my home. When I look out into the world and you feel hopeless, then you're just saying, this world is it. This is all that there is. And so because the assumption is that what I see is all there is, we know that God's word should give us hope. As we continue on in verse number 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Sometimes we feel hopeless when it doesn't seem like there's justice. Look like the criminals and those that are seem like they get away with murder and with all the injustices that happen in our society. But Paul is encouraging us here. He's saying everyone will have to fall before the judgment seat of Christ. And in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." And so one of the clues that we can identify if we're making this world our home is that we lose hope when we test it, when we have trials and tribulations in this life. Another clue that we can glean from is when the cares of this world become priority over God. When the cares of this world become priority over God. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In verses 13 through 21, Jesus is addressing the disciples about covetousness. And covetousness basically means that you're loving money. You're loving things. You're basically idolatry. You're putting things and over God. So notice what he says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And so further along, Jesus describes a scenario. He describes a rich man that has a plentiful crop. And this man says, "Hey, let me just break down these barns and build bigger barns. Relax. You got retirement. Relax and be merry. Drink and be merry." But notice what God says here in verses 20 and 21. "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So what did this man do? He just totally disregarded God who gave him all those things. he started focusing on his material wealth and disregarding the things of the heavens, things of God. And so what does that look like? Basically, you know, I can't go to worship service because I got to go to work. Well, I can't do evangelism in the neighborhood. I can't go canvassing because I got to go to this football game. I have to go to this football game. And so whenever we are placing things, prioritizing things above God, we're starting to make this world our home. You think about it. The man that tore down the barns and built bigger barns, did he feel like he was going to go anywhere anytime soon? No, he felt like, this is it. I'm going to live for the rest of my time in existence in this place. And so when we're focusing on the things of this world more so than the things of God, then we find ourselves identifying and making this world our home. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is also reaffirmed by Paul to Timothy as an evangelist. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. In verse 6 it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So again, whenever we put things above God, whenever we put our cares of this world above God, we're starting to make this world our home. Another clue that we can see of making this world our home is when we begin to see ourselves as the owner and not the steward. We start to see ourselves as the owner and not the steward. Last month, my uncle passed away. He was 54 years old. And I went to his funeral, and there was a very startling thing at that funeral that I think sometimes we take for granted. At that funeral, I noticed that he left everything behind. He left his children, his grandchildren, family and friends. He left all his material things, the things that he'd been working on for years. He left them behind. And so, as a steward has been given a possession to take care of. He doesn't own that possession, but he's given responsibility to take care of it. And so I like to sometimes give an illustration when I'm teaching the children's Bible class. I like to give this illustration. I say, you remember the blocks, the building blocks, the Legos had to be scattered all around. You remember when you put together those building blocks and you would make like a big building, or you would make like a little figurine or something like that. But you remember that progression, right? Where it was nothing, and then you built it up, and then you looked at it saying, I made that. You remember that? So remember when you put your hand on your arm? Remember when you put your foot on your legs, you put your legs together? Remember when you put your eyes in your eye sockets and you were able to see? Remember when you took that breath in, the breath that you had? Remember when you created that breath and you was able to put it in and somehow it was able to give you the energy that you needed, the food and all those different things? Basically, I'm giving them an example of, you're a steward. All these things have been given to you. When you was a baby, a child, you just noticed, I can move my hands and fingers. I can move my legs. You don't remember building it up, right? Just like we have the Legos and the blocks, you don't remember building all that. All this was given to you. And you were a steward. You don't own anything. And so, turn your Bibles to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job started to get this mindset of questioning God. Although he didn't sin, he recognized the sovereignty, the powerfulness of God. after some time, he just started getting really frustrated. And God ended up addressing him on his questions. In Job chapter 38 and verse 1, God said, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding.'" And so Job had to take a step back, say, wait a second. You're right. I wasn't there when you created the world. All this was given to me. I'm just a steward. So it goes back to say, whenever I'm thinking of myself as an owner and not a steward, I'm starting to make this world my home. Because as an owner, you feel like you have what? Control. This is mine, and I'm going to have this forever. But when I take a step back and say, you know what? All that God has just blessed me with the strength and the opportunities to have a job, to pay for these things, and he's laid the foundation for me to be able to be successful in this world, and he's given me the opportunity to take care of it. And I'm grateful. I show appreciation. And that goes back to, you know, how can we pay? You can't pay for that. Like my mom, I can't pay for what price can I pay for my mom bringing me into this world? What is that worth? How much does that cost? The only thing I can really do is just show my appreciation for all that she's done and the sacrifices she's made. And Job God was able to give Job an insight on the things that he was taking for granted. You know, you take for granted that everything around me is sustaining. The sun, you wake up in the morning, the air that I breathe, all these different things we kind of take for granted. We don't realize that it's because of the grace and the love of God. And what can we do? We can't pay for that, especially the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. We can't pay for that. We show our appreciation. That kind of goes into the point that was made in Solomon. Solomon understood this principle. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, turn with me there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in verse 18 and 19. Solomon knew that I'm going to leave all this behind. Verse 18, it says, "Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity." So Solomon knew that I'm going to leave this behind. And so what are the three things that we're covering this morning that would signal that I'm making this world my home? When I go through trials and tribulations, I become hopeless. When I'm putting the cares of this world over God. And lastly, when I begin to see myself as a steward, as an owner and not a steward. The next question we're going to address is, how can I maintain my focus on heaven as my home? How can I maintain my focus as heaven as my home? First and foremost, we must recognize and acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And look at verse number 14. Acknowledge the sovereignty of God. See, sovereignty means supreme power and authority. Supreme power and authority. So how can I maintain my focus as heaven as my home? I must recognize and acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Romans 9, 14 through 16. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.' So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." And so when I have as a foundation that God is still on the throne, then I can maintain my focus as heaven as my home. I have a certain appreciation for all that he's done and all he is capable of. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We had our Bible class this morning, and we talked a little bit about Job, and I have quite a few references in here regarding Job in this subject matter. But in Job chapter 1 and verse 20 and 22 through 22, Job went through quite a few things in his life. And I wanted to make note of his attitude as soon as he got notice of all the tragedies that were happening. He lost his livestock, he lost his children, he got sickness in his body. But in verse 20, he says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You see, Job had a foundation that God is sovereign. He said he gave, and he can take back. God is a sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God. When I have that as a foundation, that can help me make sense of a lot of things in this world. That can help me continue to have hope that things are going to work itself out. Another thing that we can see on how we can focus or maintain our focus on heaven as my home is I must lay up for myself treasures in heaven. Lay up for myself treasures in heaven. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. As was mentioned before, how can I pay back what God has given? You know, I can't physically pay back, but what I can do is show my appreciation. And that's what laying up for your treasures means. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "To live is Christ and to die is gain." How can he say that? He can say that because he's laid up for himself treasures in heaven. I'm going to make a note that for me to make a bank deposit in a bank, I must first have a relationship with that bank. I got to sign documents. I got to give my identification. I got to set things in order. And then they give me an account number. And in that account number, the next time I go, when I give my money, it can be held in account for me. Sometimes people will say, you know, "I'm good with God. God knows my heart. God is good with me." It's like going up to any bank and just giving them money. They may take the money, but you won't get credit for it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, they didn't have an account with God. They were doing these good works and good deeds, but wasn't it appreciation for who God is and his son Jesus Christ? Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Just like if you go to the bank, he says, "What is this account number? It's not under account. I'm just giving you the money." He says, "No." You know, you won't get any credit for that. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so again, it says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Where is your heart? Is your heart here in this world, or is your heart in heaven? I'm going to lay up for myself treasures in heaven. It is also reaffirmed in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. The Apostle Paul is instructing the evangelist Timothy about this very thing. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who hath given us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so, one of the things that can make us maintain our focus on heaven as our home, when we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Another thing that we can look at is that we know and accept our role in the church of God. Know and accept my role in the church of God. I can think back to when I was growing up, my parents helped me to understand my role in the family. They said, Genesis, you're the oldest. You're responsible. They all look into you, my younger siblings. I'm the oldest of four children. And they instructed me in several different ways of how I should be in the role in my family. And so I gained a lot of great insight and knowledge from that experience that's carried me over into my adulthood, that I know about authority. You know, some kids don't understand about it, but I know about authority. And my parents showed me and helped me to see that. That many parents, there are some parents that will take the child's life even before they come into the world. There are some parents that even the child comes into the world, they don't take care of their kids. They neglect them. So it's not automatic that parents are going to take care of children. So there's a level of appreciation that should come from that. And so when we look at our role in the church of God, we have a certain reverence and awe to God and his church because of the role that we have in it. Turn your Bibles to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. After Job went through all the things he did and he questioned God about why is he going through those things, and then God addressed him of his authority. God was able to instruct him of his authority. Then let us notice what Job says in response to God in answering his questions. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so we see here that Job recognizes the authority, he recognizes his role in being in a creation of God. And so today in the body of Christ, we need to accept our role. We're not just here just to take up space. We talked about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. When we're in the body of Christ, we function in a role. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 through 22, it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Now to summarize, how can I know if I'm making this world my home if I lose hope when I go through trials and tribulations? When the cares of this world become priority over God, when I begin to see myself as an owner and not a steward, then how can I maintain my focus as heaven as my home? Acknowledge the sovereignty of God, lay up for myself treasures in heaven, and know and accept my role in the church of God. Now, a big question to ask is, do you have a role in the church of God or the church of Christ? Do you have a role? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings are found where? In Christ Jesus. You may ask, well, how do you get in Christ Jesus? Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So we are to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 tells us that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, it says that when we are buried with him in baptism, we rise up to walk in the newness of life. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, then God adds you to the body of Christ. And then you have an account with God now. The things that you do are going to be accounted for righteousness. And so God is going to add you to his body, the church of Christ, and then you have a role in the body of Christ. And you can start your journey. If you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you still don't really know what your role is in the body of Christ, we have the leadership here that can be able to help you to discover that role so that you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. If you have any of these concerns, please come forward as together we stand and sing the invitation song. Seek ye.